Morning, everybody. How y'all doing? It is just absolutely spectacular outside. Don't be staring out the windows, though. We don't want that. But we're going to start today. I'm going to get my bulletin opened up here. Page 26, please, and let's stand. 26.
Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never cease. Call for song of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song. Some my flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon. Now that thy my sign of victory, hither by thy help I come, and I know by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus on me went astray, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from intercourse his precious blood. Oh, to grace now great and dear, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Seal it for thy courts above.
Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you for getting us here. Thank you for the great week we've had, Lord. Thank you for all that we got accomplished. Lord, thank you for being our God. Thank you, Lord, for you're there, Lord. You're always there. We have no need to worry. I just thank you, Lord, for bringing back some folks that have been missing. Kim's here, Dave, Lord, Coco, all. Just thank you, Lord, for answers to prayer. Thank you for my pastor, Lord, and his wife. Lord, he's going to be preaching today, Lord. I just ask that you would just empower him, Lord, that we just see a stick of dynamite go right off inside of him, Lord, that his message might really talk to folks here today, Lord, because we know it comes from you. Guide and direct, Lord. Make this day your day always, Lord. Help us to know it and see it and serve you in it. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me see. 696, please. 696.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with this crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints. Yeah.
Let's see. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we have our evening service here at church. We have classic scripture lessons. I believe we're still in John. Deacon meeting is no. Personal evangelism is on the 23rd. Wilton Bible study the 25th. Men's Bible study the 27th. Please check the pastor on that date. Fellowship next week, 28th here. Kitchen team is Ginger, Faith, and Sandra. And see, we're going to have a brief usher meeting after our morning service today. When the Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding, the Bible's being serious. Your heart is deceitful. Your emotions fluctuate. Your understanding does not see the overall big picture. I'm sorry, folks, but we're kind of dummies. God never lies. God never changes. God knows all. Trust Him. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for getting us here to your house, Lord, for the beautiful day. We thank you for our great nation, Lord. We pray that our leaders might wake up, Lord, and see the wrong that they're doing. Be with us, Lord. Help us to always remember to stand for you. Lord, we're going to take up an offer now. I just ask you to be through the gift and the givers. We do so. Help folks to consider. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing I forgot, the Aspire Nursing Home, they have a Bible study on the 25th at 2. Marlon wants to list a little help with that. He's got some doctor appointments he's got to attend to, and it's going to be conflict for him. So if you're willing, get with Marlon on that and see if you can help him out. Do we have special music today?
Me.
You. Thank you, Kay.
Like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child I was helpless alone. Then I met the Master. Now I am one of His own. For all things were changed when He found me, a new day broke through all around me. For I met the Master, now I belong to Him. Like a blind man who walks in the darkness, I had longed, I had searched for the light. Then I met the Master. Now I walk no more in the night. For all things were changed when He found me. A new day broke through all around me, for I met the Master, now I belong to Him. I met the Master, now I belong to Him.
Thank you so much.
Kay's talking about this morning in that song is what we know as regeneration. We become new creatures in Christ when we're saved. We're not reformed, even though we're translated and transitioned in our growth with Him. Now, Kay, I have to joke with you a little bit this morning. Lonnie said something about Special K. So my mind immediately went to the cereal. And here's so you probably heard this before, but... Well, what I've never found the strawberries in the cereal box that are on the cover of the... So I don't know, I just wondered about that this morning. Greetings and welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mrs. Brown has a word to say, if you'll allow it, please.
Yes. Well, I'm here, I'm walking, and I'm...
Hallelujah. Amen.
This is what I'm praying. And I just have to thank you. I didn't want to write it in part because I have to thank you to convey truly how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I thank you guys for all your prayers. And the food, you know, it's just an amazing outpouring of God's love. And
yes.
And how blessed that I am to be part of a family like this. And I just want to know, thank you so much for prayer. I truly believe in prayer. And I believe in miracles. And Chris Ashton can attest to that too.
Amen. Hallelujah.
She's a miracle, too. And so I just want to thank you all. The meals have been wonderful, the meal train. But I'm walking. I feel so good. You don't have to bring them anymore. I would take them year round, but yeah. We've been eating better in these last 2 weeks than we ever do. So thank you again so much for your prayers. Everything's going great. And I started physical therapy this past week. And they're amazed. But it's prayer, guys. It's
yeah.
God.
It's a God thing.
You know, so thank you again so much for that.
Yeah.
Don't ever do what God can get us through things because He truly can.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Thank you, guys, again.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. Truly, God is good, and again, I've expressed through this journey thanks for all the great support from our church family. You folks are a real blessing. You really are. And I get emotional again like I did 2 weeks ago. And I got to be careful because we won't get done. But I have been emotional about these things. I did say greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do have something for you folks here, though, too. And I want to tell you what that is. I was told by my wife that this is the last year that I'm going to grow sweet corn. I'm limited from this point on to 2 rows. But we do have an abundance of corn, and my nephew is going to help me pick tomorrow. But the only place we've sold it this year is the Jeff's Market. And so I want to offer that to my brothers and sisters in Christ here today. It's free, but you'll have to come get it. So if you want to enjoy some good sweet corn, that's a little gift back to all of you folks who've done so much for us. So it's kind of first come, first serve. We'll have some for another week and a half, but less all the time, but we want you to have some of that if you'd like that. And thank you again from the bottom of our hearts for what you've done. We can't believe what God has done, how good He's been. Anyway, trust He's working in your lives as well today, and we know that He wants to. And so again, today we go into the Scriptures. And we see how God, again, has given us His Word and His will very plainly for us to look at. The title of our message is Obtaining the Real Message of Scripture and Its Application to People's Lives. What is the real message of the Word? I started on this last week, could not finish it. Hopefully we will today. But it's important stuff because we need to really know what the Word of God says and that we get the proper meaning from it. If you weren't here or missed some things, I'll give you a transcript of the message. I'm not going to go back through a lot of it today, just give you the high points, and then we'll kick into gear. But let me just say, folks, what we have here in front of us is God's revealed Word, and it is powerful. Hebrews 4:12, it's like dynamite. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and we need to know how to handle it. And as I told Moscow this morning, what I've told you for years here at Fruitland, we don't need to be the biggest. But we need to be the smartest. We need to know God's Word, and we need to know how to handle it, and we need to know, again, what its purpose is in our lives. So I hope to help us with that today as we look into the subject of hermeneutics. No, that's not a guy. But it's really a way that we study Scripture. I believe it is the right way to study Scripture. And we'll talk about that here in just a few moments. But before we go any further, we ought to turn our hearts to Jesus right now.
Yes.
And focus on Him. And focus on what He's given us. And be thankful, you know, that we can be here to grow in Him today, to learn in Him, to be challenged in our walk, but also with Him here in our very presence. Have you really thought about that before? He is. He tells us, where two or more are gathered, there I am with you.
Amen.
I'll never forget a prayer meeting years ago. A guy walked in. I don't know where he came from. I don't know where he went. Some of you remember that guy? Denny, I said, it was Jesus. Sat right back there where Bob's at. Yeah. So you're here, Jesus, and you're here and wanting us to have a deeper walk with you today. So that's our goal. Let's take just a few moments to adjust ourselves before God's throne for worship silently, and then I'll have a short pastoral prayer. Again, may the Lord be praised today in all things that are done. So let us pray together. Well, now, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you, here is this group that is assembled, the called out ones, the church, the believers, as we gather now, Lord, to first of all acknowledge today that you are worthy and that this is the day, the first day of the week when you rose, and Lord, you are a risen and living Savior. And for those that where that has been applied to our lives, new life, we come today in excitement and enthusiasm, Lord, but also in awe and in fear of you, Lord. Not in a cowering fear, but a respect for you, to know that we have a personal relationship with you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God. And so this is a special day, Lord. It's a dress rehearsal once again for when we'll be with you permanently. It's a dress rehearsal for heaven and what you have planned for all eternity. And yet today, Lord, our hearts are imperfect before your throne. We, those of us that are saved in this room this morning, we know that we'll enter heaven because of what you did, Jesus, and your blood that covers our sin. But yet, as we live here in this life and all the things that we deal with and wrestle with, we know, Lord, that we face imperfection. And yet, Lord, you are steadfastly with us through all the things that we encounter. We thank you for the miracles, Lord, that you perform in lives. We thank you for Chris Ash here today, for Kim, for others, Lord. Forgive me if I've left anyone out, but we're all miracles, Lord, that we're alive and able to go today. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll investigate what purpose that's for. Now, Lord, today we understand, though, that we suffer, as I mentioned, and that there are many maladies. By the way, Lord, if I forgot to extol you and tell you what an awesome God you are, I did that in silent prayer, but, Lord, you are an awesome God. But we know that in our congregation and in the people that we reach, Lord, the sphere of influence this church has, we know, Lord, there are people hurting today. There are people that are grieving, people that are physically ill, others that may be spiritually ill, struggling, Lord. And I pray today that you would lift them from the pit, Lord, that the things that we do here together this morning also would lift one another from the miry clay, Lord, from the pit, and give us new life, Lord, with wings that fly, Lord Jesus. I pray that that'll be the case today from your word. Now, Lord, the message today is a little bit more of an instructional type message, but it nevertheless, Lord, will be used of you if the Spirit should have that to be in each and every person here. But we thank you for the reliability of your word and, Lord, how we can look at it. And for an example today, Lord, that can be very controversial that I'm going to bring briefly from the word. Now, that's the hard part, Lord. For me, I want to be able to work with people and love people, and I'm trying to do that, Lord. But we know there are some things in your word that are going to cause division. And we know this, Jesus, you yourself are a divider of men. Yes, people can be united in you, but as a rule, it's going to divide people, Lord, all over, in our families, everything else. So today, Jesus, help us as we consider that. But my main prayer is that we'll stay faithful to you and do it your way, because I don't think we'll ever go wrong. You say that if we do it your way, Lord. Your way is the right way. Help us to discern that as we look into your word. May this message help that. And Lord, as I've been telling people this morning, I got done a little late at Moscow, and I feel about two steps behind today. So I need your help. And I always do, Lord, because I shouldn't even be standing up here. I mean, there's more capable people than me. But Lord, as long as you've called me, I'll do my best. But it's going to have to be with your help and with the impartation of strength from the Holy Spirit, Lord. And that's what we pray for today, that the Spirit would have his way in the hearts of people. Because as you told the churches in Revelation, the seven churches, what we need to be thinking today, Lord, is how can we be changed by your word? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, to the believers today, Lord. May your word transform us and change us that we get it right. Now I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now one other thing in my faulty memory, Wednesday night I mentioned it, but there are a few copies of the chronological order of the Bible on the back table that I scribbled down. You may want to look at it. I may have made an error in it somewhere, but it's pretty close anyway. And what it amounts to is just this. It shows how to study the Bible from the oldest part of it to the newest, and in the order that is. So it's back there. In other words, to give you an example, if you want to go to the two oldest time frames that the Bible addresses, number one would be the book of Genesis, which Genesis means beginnings. But what parallels with that is the book of Job. We've been studying the book of Job on Wednesday nights and gleaning some principles there to help us. But the point is that this way you will know how the Bible flows in time, okay, and how it was written and when it was written. So if you're interested, you can take it, and if we need more, that's fine. Anyway, today, how do we know what's the real message of Scripture? I'm just going to go over these points briefly before we get to the fourth one where we'll begin today, the fourth of seven. But here's the first point. We must be prepared and knowledgeable in the Word to refute what is not true and to promote what is true. And there is a bumper crop of unlearned out there by both choice and ignorance. And I'll just say this. Paul said continually in his writings, "Do not be ignorant, my brethren." Ignorant means uninformed. This needs to be a priority for us, okay, to determine what God wants us to know. Second point. Choose an accurate method, and you can use the word science here, of repetitive, consistent practices all the time to interpret the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's the word I used just a minute ago. It's the word hermeneutics. It's a way to do that. But also remember, we made this very clear, that it is the Holy Spirit that is the ultimate teacher. And today, if you're here and you are apart from Jesus Christ, never been adopted into his family, the Bible will be hard for you to understand unless the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today that you need to be saved, that you need to be born again. But to nominal people on the street, this book is not understandable apart from the interpretive help of the Holy Spirit. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 16. So the point here, the second point, is that, and I explained this and won't go back, but we always start with the literal, the grammatical, the historical, the symbolic things, the metaphors, the poetry, the allegories, which are parables, and more. And that is how we work through Scripture every time, all the time. Okay? Because if we do it in different ways, we're not going to get the right meaning from it. And I believe, again, that this is a good place to start, always with the literal interpretation of the Bible. That's the first test we give Scripture. Take it for what it says, okay? And then we work out from there. If you have questions on that further, I gave some illustrations of that last week. I'd be glad to talk with you about it at any time. But it's so important that we have a consistent message or method of interpretation, because multiple forms bring inconsistency, and I believe that the Bible is consistent because it tells us that it is. That, again, it is not suspect to being of any private interpretation. In other words, it fits together. It came from God, and it is divine in its makeup. And we can come to an accurate conclusion all of the time with the proper methods. Third point was Scripture claims to be reliable, and I gave four places there, and it is. And the way I closed on that was this, is that there's a lot of conjecture out there today if there's missing things in God's Word, so on and so forth. But the verses I gave us last week proved to me that God's Word is here. It has not been hidden from anyone. Are there things that we don't know that we might like to know? Yes. But you know what? The things we need to know have been revealed by God, and His Scriptures and His Word has been preserved for us today. If you don't believe God preserved it, that's the thing. If you think, well, there's stuff missing in the Bible, it's been tinkered with, well, it can be tinkered with. But the point is, if we find the right and rightly divide it, which I'll talk about today, we know that God has preserved His Word, because if He didn't, He is a liar, right? Because we looked last week at several scriptures that said His Word is forever settled in heaven. It's a done deal. He's given us His Word. The point is, will you receive it? And I receive it, okay? So that brings us this morning to the fourth point of this message out of seven. And this is what we find in Scripture that confirms that God's Word was given to man through man, but the authorship was divine. So another charge that's leveled against Scripture quite a bit is that humans wrote it. Well, is that true or not? It is true, but it was not human ingenuity that created Scripture. It was what we know as divine inspiration. In other words, Scripture was breathed by God to the authors. And it was borne along, is the term that is used there. They were borne along by the power of the Holy Spirit. They wrote what God intended for the message, but it was written in their own flavor. That's how God works. We're all different in this room. If you don't believe that, we can throw any subject on the table. And if we went far enough with it, we're all a little different on it. But God used people. You know who I like is someone like Paul. Paul wasn't afraid. I just really like to see what Paul did and how he went about things, because Paul was a guy that was not afraid to get down and dirty with things and to speak the truth. I like a guy like Peter. A guy like Peter, remember how he dealt with Jesus? He denied him three times. Peter messed around, but you know what? I like it because in Acts chapter 2, Peter got up and preached the gospel. The man with a foot in his mouth then had the gospel in his mouth, and he was no longer afraid. He went out and spoke the truth. He loved Jesus. You know, Peter told him in the end, or do you love me, Peter, three times? Because Peter denied him three times. And what Jesus was basically telling Peter when he got it through his thick head is, prove it to me then, Peter. And Peter proved it, didn't he? You know, secular history says Peter was was crucified on a cross upside down. It was John that was likely boiled in a pot of oil. Jesus told Peter, you're going to go through the same thing I will. And Peter did. If that's true, upside down, he was nailed to a cross and he was crucified, just like his Savior was. Peter has been there and done that. Folks, that's where we need to be today. These people were characters that God used to write the Scriptures, just like we're characters to fulfill the Scriptures and to deliver them in our day. You know, there's a lot of people probably won't come to Fruitland. I noticed this morning when we went up the steps at Moscow, a squirrel had put a nut and cracked it on the steps of the church. Now, you know what I'm going to say. Anyone want to say what I'm going to say? Well, the squirrel isn't the only nut. My old friend Mike Salati used to say, I'm the head squirrel, the head nutcracker from school up at Faith. But, you know, we're all a little unique. You look at a guy like John the Baptist. That's who people use, people like you and I. We're all there, and it's there for us today. But anyway, we're going to talk briefly about the inspiration of Scripture. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. By the way, as it is with all the messages, I can't give you all of it. It's going to take a lot of time to study all this stuff, but it's all in there. But I'm going to give you little snippets, but you can investigate on your own. And I will as well further, and we can always talk. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Here again, from the hand of the Apostle Paul, and we'll look at this today as well, but there are no authors in Scripture that claim that these words were their own. You agree on that? All through the book, it's implied. Even when an author says, these were not my own words, they always say when they write things like this, thus saith not the prophet Isaiah, thus saith the Lord, right? I'm telling you, folks, in our humanity, there's a thing called pride. And pride will take every one of us down. But pride is the thing that rears up. Freud called it the ego. But what it is, it's pride. And we're always going to want to take credit for the things we do, the things we say. These authors of Scripture took no credit. They gave the credit to God. See? And we, if this was done in the flesh, they would have taken the credit. And I'll guarantee you that you would not have 66 books in this Bible that we have before us that were without error and without contradiction if this were anything but divine. Can you dig it? All right. Who had a bag around here that said, "Can you dig it?" I thought I saw that one time. Took me right back to the 60s. Here it is, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Paul writes, all Scripture. Scripture, Greek word graphe, all writings. He's talking about scriptural writings here. And the word all is all-inclusive, right? Paul didn't classify that and said, it could be subject to interpretation on some of these things. Well, it can be, but when it all is all airtight, when it does not contradict, as we have in our 66-book Bible, what he's talking about here, he's saying all these things that have been revealed, all writings, is given by human wisdom and ingenuity. No, he uses the word there, inspiration. And that word, spiration, is breathed, okay? This was God-directed, God-breathed. He bore the people along that wrote it. It is by inspiration of God. And notice he says, and it is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is teaching of truth, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we could preach a whole sermon on that, but you can look at those things. It's to turn us around, to get us on the right path, that the man of God may be, in the King James it says, perfect. No, none of us will ever be made perfect this side of eternity, but it means complete. It gives us the complete package. That's what's found in Scripture, okay, for our walk with the Lord and our walk through our lives and what's to come yet in the future, that the man of God may be throughly or fully equipped or furnished unto all good works. So they're from the hand of the Apostle Paul, who did not claim any of this for himself, but again gave the glory to God that this came from him. And ultimately here again he confirms this once again, that Scripture is given by God. It was not the product of man. Let's go back just a few more chapters here to 2 Peter 1:19-21. 2 Peter 1:19-21. And again, there's several places I could have gone today, but we always battle the clock. 2 Peter 1:19-21. Peter writes the following. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as a light that shineth in a dark place. So what Peter's talking about here, he is saying that the Bible not only gives a track record of what God has done, but it also gives a record of what God will be doing. Okay? It is a... How do I want to say this? It's a resource. That's the word I guess I'm going to use. It is the resource, that's how I want to phrase it, for what is yet to come and what has taken place prior. In this case, he says prophecy. We know that it's all prophetic because God has fulfilled some of the prophecy, and because of that basis, he will, and who he is, he will fulfill all the prophecy in his time and in his will. So he says here, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What's Peter saying here about Scripture? He says, essentially what? This is the end of the line. This is God's word. You don't need to search for anything else. Now, I'm not telling us not to have objective minds when we look at things. If you have doubts about the Scriptures today, don't believe things hook, line, and sinker. What I say or what someone that would disagree with me would say or disagrees with Scripture. But investigate it. See if it's true. Because this is a bold claim that's made by Peter. We have a more sure word, meaning what? This is more sure than anything else you can put your hands on. So as I always say, investigate it and prove it. Most people that doubt God's word have no proof. It's just what they think or what they feel, okay, or what they've been told and who they've been told it by. But understand, it can be determined, and we'll talk about that more later. Peter says, whereunto you do well that you take heed. In other words, the word of God should stop us dead in our tracks no matter where we're at today. It's either going to confirm that we're on the right path, or it's going to jolt us into reality that we're on the wrong path. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, God's word overcomes the darkness. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private. In the King James, it says interpretation. You can insert the same word there. You may have it in another translation, origin. Meaning what? This is not generated by man or man's ingenuity. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Ghost. What you have in front of you today is a message from God inspired by the Holy Spirit to be penned through humans. By the way, God does not do dictation. God sent his message through the personalities of these writers, and it was written in their flavor, just like it would be, you know, where we can understand and comprehend that. But it was a divine message that was given through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, authors did not claim it as their own, but it was God-breathed. Undivine authorship would have people that took credit. The Bible authors did not. They gave the credit to the Holy Ghost and to God. So there's just a couple of places you can investigate that further. Point five this morning, a directive on interpretation. Let's go in our Bibles to 2 Timothy 2:14-19. 2 Timothy 2:14-19. Paul's instructing his young protege Timothy, and you can read what comes further in this, but precedes this, but he begins here in 2 Timothy 2:14-19. He says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Okay, that's important. And here he goes now. He says, study in verse 15. Study means what? It's more than reading. It means to dig in. The term has been used by many people to mine in the Word of God. In other words, get out the pickaxe, get out the shovels, get out the spades, you know, the hammers, the tongs, and tear into it. Tear into it more than just superficially reading it. Tear into it in what we talked about, the grammatical effect of it, the literal effect of it, the historic effect of it, the metaphorical parts of it, and so forth. But look into it thoroughly and substantially. By the way, never limit yourself to learning. There's some very simple things. We live in such a great age in the perspective of what we have in this little thing we carry in our hands, or if you have it in a computer. You can study the Bible very deeply. And here's that little word. Tell me. If you're willing to do it. You have more power in your hands than people had 10 years ago. You have multiple times more power in your hand than people had 50 years ago. But if you're a Luddite, like I am to an extent, get a Strong's Concordance. You can still get them in a paper version. You can study all these words in the original languages. You can dig into the whole thing, folks. It'll turn you on to some new things. Reading is not enough. Paul told Timmy, study, study, put your nose to the grindstone. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And here's the key this morning of what we're talking about. By the way, it uses the term there, a workman, okay, that needeth not to be ashamed. The implication here is if we don't dig into the Word of God, we ought to be ashamed. Really? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Orthotomeo, that's rightly. Orthotomeo. And what that Greek word means is to straight cut the word of truth. We need to find the right meaning of what God intended in His Word. That's the goal of our study, folks. Orthotomeo, that we find the real meaning, the straight cut of what God's Word has to say. And as I've listed some of the things, the tools we have to us today, we can find the right word. We can rightly divide the truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Excuse me, I got a page off here. There we go. And then, coupled with that, the work and effort with studying, finding the right cut here, the straight cut, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You be sure that you're getting the right perspective on this. Don't listen to the false teachers. Don't dabble with the false teachers. Because what he says is, if you do that, you're going to increase in your ungodliness. Okay? And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, and this is people that Paul struggled with, false teachers, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Okay? Their timing was wrong. They were teaching things that were not true. And what it did, it damaged the faith of people and potentially of people yet to come. Nevertheless, so Paul concludes here to Timothy, the foundation of God is shaky at times. No, that's not what it says. It standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Folks, let me just say this. There's many forms of iniquity that we can be involved in. But if you're messing around, trying to reread the Scriptures and messing with what God delivered, you're headed for trouble. It's a dangerous territory to be involved in. It's not wrong to explore these things, but be very careful of the tangents that we get on. Remember, the straight cut, that's what we need to find in Scripture. The method that I have shared with you, I'm not going to be bold here again and say that's the only thing you can do, but in my opinion, it is. It's the only way to interpret Scripture and get the right meaning from it, consistently, all the time. So, that's the directive. Orthotomeo, get the straight cut. Point six, that means seven's coming soon. Now, here's where we'll get into a little trouble, but let me just say something, folks. I do love you. And I'm ordered by God to speak the truth in love in Ephesians 4:15 to people. And I want to just say this, out there today, there's all kinds of stuff floating around. And some of you may not agree with me on this morning, but again, I'm going to give it to you in a plain term, because I could avoid controversy here. We need to have something, again, that's published here and say that things that are said at Fruitland Baptist Church can be controversial. Because the Word of God is controversial. Let me say, what I'm going to share this morning does not mean I do not love God nor people. But what I am called to do here at Fruitland is to rightly divide the Word of truth. So I'm going to pick a subject that I've been talking to a lot. People come to me a lot about this lately. And some of you may wonder about it too. But I'm going to give you, again, what I believe the Scripture says. So here's an example that we're going to look at in real life today of the literal, grammatical, historical, so on and so forth, and how we look at Scripture. Here it is. Is everyone ready? Buckle your seatbelts, because some may not like this, but you know what? Here's the question. Why should women not be pastors? Did you know that more than 50%, probably these days, of women in churches, or pastors in churches, are now female? Did I hear a deep sigh? Well, Pastor John, where's the problem with that? Well, remember, Pastor John, this is 2024. And I'll tell you what, a lot of these men, they don't know what they're doing. Marilyn, go ahead, speak to us. Well, Marilyn, I appreciate your thought there, okay? Well, we're going to look at that this morning, definitively, okay? So, yeah, old Pastor John, remember Johnny the Baptist? Elijah? I don't see a problem with it in this day. That's what people are telling me. What's changed? Things are different, John. You old antiquated stick in the mud, stick in the road person. Well, folks, because according to the way that I've shown us to interpret Scripture, while we may not have a problem with it, the Bible does. And thusly, God does. So let's explore that a minute. Let's go to the little book of Titus. Titus. We're going to start there. This will be brief. The pain will be slow. Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. And we're going to look at chapter, there's no chapters. Well, there is, there's three. But we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. If I ever get there. Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. Paul is writing another protege of his, an understudy, a guy named Titus. And so here's what I read here. Paul writes, verse 5, "For this cause I left thee in Crete," that's Titus, "that thou shouldest set in order things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed." So we know this. The church is always susceptible to disorganization. 1 Corinthians 14:40, Paul writes, "The church at Corinth, let all things be done recklessly, decently, and in order." Okay? So Paul's telling Titus, you need to be the one that keeps order in my church, okay, in Christ's church. And he says here, set in order the things that are wanting, or we would use the term lacking, that are not what they should be. And then he goes on and he says, ordain elders in every city. Did you know that pastors have three titles in the Greek? This is one of them, elder. It's the word in Greek, presbyteros. Okay? What it means is pastors don't have to be old, but they need to be mature people in the faith. Okay? Mature in the word. By the way, if you study into this text, you will find that word elder is always found in the masculine gender. Remember, literal, historical, grammatical. Masculine means
male.
Ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, by the way, we could talk about that sometime. We all have faults. I won't go into that this morning. But notice the next thing. The husband of one wife. Literal. The husband of one wife. Having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless. Bishop? I said presbyteros. Bishop is the word episkopos in the Greek, which means an overseer of the flock. Folks, I don't hate to tell you this. I'm going to tell you it is in the male gender. It is another term for a pastor. Okay? For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Let's see. I want to go through 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to both exhort and to confute the gainsayers. By the way, we looked at that verse earlier. Folks, male, grammatical, literal, historical. There were not female pastors in those days. You can go to Romans 16:1. You had Phoebe. She was a diakonos. She was a servant. Now, let me just say this. Women can do a whole lot in the ministry, but you shouldn't claim a title that is not God ordained. And this is the contention that I would have with that. Why do you want the title? And I'm going to tell you why. Because in a sense, it goes back to usurping the authority. In a sense, it goes back to the Garden of Eden, and the woman is still saying, I've been taken advantage of. I can do just as well as man. Let me tell you something. There are women pastors that do a lot better job than men. There are women pastors that do a better job than I do. But folks, it's not God's will. Why would you accept something like that when it's clear in Scripture that it goes against His order? And the only reason it's plausible is because what? I think this is how it should be, but it's not what God says. Now, so we looked at that briefly. Now let's go back to 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. I'm just going to give you a couple examples here. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Whoops. By the way, 1 through 7 and 6, 8 through 15, through 13 are deacons, but the first one is bishops. Here it is, real quick. This is a true saying, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. This is a true saying, if a desire the office of a bishop, episkopos, overseer. By the way, the third thing for pastors is poimen in the Greek. That's a flock feeder. I'm always looking at this stuff for myself. And you need, you know, if I'm wrong and I'm unfit about things, I need to be corrected or no longer a pastor. That's how serious this is. You know, and submit to the correction about these things. This is what God has ordained. Poimen is a flock feeder. That's the third Greek term for a pastor. If he desire the office of a bishop, he desireth, and again, it's the what pronouns here? Male. A good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine. Basically says the other things. One in four that ruleth, in verse four, one that ruleth his own house, having children in subjection with all gravity. Verse five, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice being lifted up. You can go into all this grammatically. It's in the male gender, the masculine gender. Not a novice being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be of have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Men and women have all progressed a lot through the ages. I understand that in some of the cultures, women have not been treated properly. But folks, in God's culture, God elevates women. He just has roles for all of us to fulfill. And if we're going to take the Scripture again in the way that I've shown in that hermeneutic, and we can interpret it all the way through, we're quick to find, and there's other places we could go. I won't take it there because of time, but 1 Timothy 2:11 through 14 is another section you can look at briefly, that God has roles. They're all important. No one is a second-class citizen in His program. But folks, like I've told you, the people that have approached me about it, they said, well, I don't think it's wrong. Well, it's not what we think, but it's what God says. Now, I've picked a controversial point. Is anyone mad today? Well, I didn't bring it out of love. And, you know, if you're a female pastor, if you were here today, I'd say, well, there's Scripture. You'll have to reconcile that with God, but that's what it says, see? And this is applied through everything we encounter in Scripture. The Scriptures tell us, if. So, in conclusion, we'll be done a little early today. That way I can field all the attacks at the door. No, I love you, folks. So it is clear, and there is more scriptural support and evidence for that subject, but folks, for all subjects. It really comes down to this. Is it what we think or what God says? I'm going to come down solidly with God on this one. It's what He says. We've got the stuff right here in front of us, folks. His Word's been preserved. Satan's the one that tries to trip us up. So, in love, God does not endorse female pastors, but He does endorse them to do a lot of things that pastors do, but don't claim the title if that's not what God has for you. Just be happy to say, I'm a servant. I want to be careful. There's times I could relinquish that title and say, I just want to serve You, Lord. I don't want to. You get what I'm saying? But if we're going to do it in his way, if we're going to claim the title, we better have it backed up by what the Word says. Anyway, you can explore that. But you can look through this consistently as you look at Scripture, and the Word, again, is hermeneutic. And again, it applies to every issue that you can place, I believe, as a test of how you should operate. Well, bottom line, I'm going to close with this today, because this is what's really important. Everything's important in Scripture, but this is really important. God said through Jesus in John 3:16, it was recorded through the Apostle John. These were not John's words, these were Jesus' words. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, the God-man, unique Son, that's what begotten means, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can mess around with Scripture, but I'll tell you what, that's a foundational verse. If you miss out that God loves you and you fail to take what he gave you that you might have eternal life, and you mess around, and we're messing around today, if you're here apart from Jesus Christ, you are I don't know if old Jimmy the Greek, the odds maker in Las Vegas, I think he died. Someone know? But I don't care what Jimmy the Greek said. If you're playing around today with Jesus on the odds, you might get taken out today. You better have taken the literal meaning of what that verse says. God loves you, and today, if you'll put your faith and trust in him, you'll be delivered from eternal death unto eternal life. This is all important. Jesus said there's not going to be one grammatical mark of Scripture depart. It's there, folks. Tell me the word. Let's say it louder. I can't hear you. Who said that, by the way? Sergeant Carter. See, that's who you need up here. Pyle. Yeah. Bob, don't get us off the track. But I'm serious about this. Don't mess around with Scripture. You're playing bad odds regarding salvation. That's the critical thing today. But the other thing is, all this is critical. We're going to be held accountable for it. I do love you, folks. Thanks for putting up with someone like me. My question, though, today, will you respond today? If, amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 694. Hymn number 694. This is about what Jesus gave for us. John 3:16. He says, I love all of you. Whosoever will can come to me today. I will in no wise cast anyone out. That's what the Bible says. That's the love of Jesus for you and I today. Don't pass through these doors today if you have never experienced that love in your life and been delivered into the arms of Jesus, but also from the power of sin, death, and the devil that exists in our life today. Again, you're always welcome to come forward, and I've told all of you before, that's why I'm here, because I need to be. Maybe there's others that do too. And one way, if I can't get it done any other way, I'm going to start preaching from the back. But seriously, the Word, how do you respond to it? Here we go. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Jesus is a giver. Take his gift today. And again, explore and experience what he has for you in your life. Doug Chatfield, would you close the day with prayer? Please.
Dear Lord, thank you for this.